are going to receive some members into the church and going to have a baptism. So be patient a little bit today, okay? It's a beautiful day and we are starting the new sermon series. It's going to be exciting. And I hope and my prayer is that it will really speak to our life wherever you are in your faith journey. And we all are in a different faith journey. If you think and if you say that I have never experienced hurt in my life, you probably want to evaluate that statement, because we live in this world and hurt is a part of this journey in this world. But we do not have to live in a hurt, but God is with us. He's a practical God, and he is a God who is with us all the time. You know why? Because he died on the cross and he rose again. And he's a living God, and he has sent us the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to be with us, to direct and guide and counsel us. And so with that, I just want to the new sermon series, Life Hurts. I mean, that's the reality. But God heals. And so there are different kinds of, hurts in life, and we will be talking and covering about different topics as we go in this next few weeks. So just look forward to those and don't miss the next few weeks, because we will be really talking about our life's issues and how God plays the role into our real life issues. God is not just a God who is in heaven sitting there and just watching over us, and the struggles we go through and the pain and the hurt we go through, he's just having fun watching us how we struggle. That's not the idea of God. God is involved in our life if we let him be involved in our life. So I think this next few weeks are going to be just amazing, and I just want to encourage you to zone into this series. And there is an outline. Whenever I do series, I try to make outlines, so this is helpful to you. You can take it home and just reflect on that. So just do that and follow along if you are able to do that. We can't really get God's help in our life and in our hurt if we can't ever get God's healing unless we let God love us. And so the part of this whole series is, first of all, I want to touch base and talk about that, let God love you. Let God love you. And unless we allow God to enter into our space and enter into our life and allow him to love us, we are not able to experience God's blessings in our life. We are not able to experience God's healing in our life in a sense that we really need to experience. And so let God in our life, live in our life and allow him to love us, because God loves us anyway. But many times that we push him away and keep him at the bay and just want to walk at the distance from him. And, that's what we want to really talk about today as we lay this foundation about how life hurts and involvement of God in our life. We have this scripture passage for today, John chapter 1, chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, not John chapter 4, but the 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. And we are going to look at a few verses here. And as we laid the foundation today, the foundational thing about God being involved in our life, it's God's love. And there is a lot of conversations in this world. There is a lot of talk about love in general, and there is a lot of confusion about what love is. And we are not going to get into the specifics of what love is and all that. We have, you know, a long time ago, we had talked about that. But here is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 says, and this is what it says. It's written in your outline, and it's probably on the screen as well. And it says, and so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. So we know and we rely on the love of God, the love that is there for us. We want to rely on it because God is love. God is love. Now, you have heard this many times, God is love, and all these kinds of things, and it is kind of not a new concept for us. Even if you are not connected to church or you don't go to church, somewhere in your life you have heard this idea that God is love. And many people have taken this whole idea, really, you know, distorted this idea that God is love. And Bible says that one of the chief character of God is love, that he loves us so much deeply. You know, now notice this verse doesn't say the love is God. If we just kind of start with love and then take that whole concept and connect to God, it doesn't work that way, because the definition of love in this world is everything and anything, and it can be very confusing. And one of the very, very, you know, common definition of love is, if you love something, if you love somebody, you should love that person so that, you know, you accept all the wrong things that person does. The person is hurting themselves, and you let that person hurt themselves. And if you do that, that means you love that person. An example, my daughter, and I didn't ask her the permission to do that, and I wouldn't say which daughter. I have two daughters, so that's okay. You can fight amongst yourselves. And they were, you know, my daughter was small, and she would had a great attraction. You know, we had a heater in our house, and the heater was going on, and she always wanted to go and touch that. And we would always protect her from that. And if we, you know, if we let her do that, it would burn her hands, and it is not good for her. But according to the definition of the world's definition of love, if you truly love somebody, you just let them do whatever is destructive things in their life are. And that is not real love is, because what kind of love is you push that person towards the destruction? If you see that they're living a destructive life, the real love is to let them know that you are destroying your life. And so the idea that love is God is not, but that God himself is love. And so what flows out of God in our life is with love. And many times what that means is God really tells us that this is wrong. And he reprimands us. And he tells us the words which we do not want to hear in our life. But he knows that he wants to protect us. And that is the love of God that we need to depend upon and we need to rest our life in. You know, it is like this. You know, somebody, a teenage boy who is a goofy kind of a boy, and he says, my dog is a girl. It's a different thing. And my girl is a dog. You know, two different things. You know, it's a kind of a funny example, but I just thought I should give that. You know, makes two totally different sense. So love is not God, but God himself is love. So let's try to understand that. And there is a big difference between God is love and love is God. And so let's stick to the idea that God himself is love. And we want, and the truth is this, God wants to be a personal God that directs our lives. God loves us so much that he wants to have a personal relationship with us. The depth of God's love is so much that, even if I mess up with myself and destroy my life and things like that, God is going to point out and direct you that these are not the right things, and that is the expression of God in our life. Wouldn't you want to know if you are in the investment world, for example, and you want to invest your money in different things, and you're about to invest in something and which is going to be a very destructive investment, and an expert comes along and says and tells you, man, I care about you, don't do that, it's going to be not good for you. You know, when people say that and stop us from doing something, it is because they care about us, they love us, and God is the God of deep love for us, that he is connected with us personally. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. He wants what is best for you. God is for you and not against you. Many times we do not want to hear things that, that God, why God is telling us. I don't like that. But the reason God says those things from the Word of God, from the Bible, or when we pray to them and he impresses things on our heart is because he loves us and cares for us. Now here is the thought. If God loves us and he is for us, why there are so many people who wants to go far away from God? There is a world full of people, and maybe you're listening today online or here, and you're in that place today and say, man, I do not want to get close to God. I do not want to commit my life to God because I am not sure why I should do that. And why, if God loves us so much, and he is for us, and he wants the best of the things for us in our life, why there are so many people run away from the fellowship of God called church and God? Why is that? Why is that? You know, the reason people want to run away and people want to keep God away from their life is because they are afraid and because they are fearful. And that the fear grips them, and they kind of are afraid they what might happen to them. And if I belong to God, if I give my life to God, what will happen to me? And that fear just grips them. And there are some kinds of fears. And today, I want to really specifically talk about the three common fears that people have in their life. And that's the reason they kind of want to kind of, you know, figure out about God, want to know about God a little bit, but not go all the way to kind of commit their life to him and really experience what God has to offer in their life. You know, bring healing to their hurts, bring direction to their confusion. They prefer to live life in the hurt and pain and agony in their life and not bring God completely in their life and surrender their life because they are terribly afraid. And there are three common fears, and let's talk about them really quickly. What are those fears that people fear and we all fear? The number one fear people fear is, I'm afraid I might give up my fun. You know, the world is full of fun. I'm afraid I might give up my fun. I might have to give up my good times that I have. And in other words, to become a Christian or to become belonging to God, you know, equals to party is over. The fun time is over. I cannot know more. I have to be bored in my life to be spiritual. Many people think that to be a spiritual, to follow Christ, is to become miserable in our life because there is no more fun. Because, and the reason we think like that is because our society we live in is more interested in fun, but not only that, the society has defined what fun is in our life. And the things are just made and defined for us, and the world screams at us and tells us, if you do this, if you do that, if you do all these X, Y, Z things, that equals fun in your life. And then we fall into that trap and we keep doing that and we follow that and we think that it is fun. But whatever is prescribed by the world to us, if we keep doing that, it ultimately leads us into a destruction. The pain builds up, the hurt builds up, and it is not the solution. So the question for you is this simply, I just want to ask, think about this. To be honest this morning with all of us and to be yourself, if you are young or you're not followers of Christ, and if you're thinking about, you're in the middle of this, I know about God, but I want to kind of think about what is what and things like that. What sounds more fun to you? Miller time or Sunday school time? Just be honest with you. Because the world says that Miller time is supposed to be a fun time. You know, going, you know, doing things that world offers or things like that. And you know, that is supposed to be a fun time for us. The idea of fun, you know, in the school environment or in the, you know, we were in India and we rented this place and we thought it was, we were going for a wedding and all our family was there. And there was a group of, and the next place was rented by these young people, and they decided to have fun. The result of that, we didn't sleep whole night. You know, it was so noisy, and it was so this thing, and I was laying in my bed and thinking, are they sure that they are having fun? If you ask them in the morning, what did they do, and things like that, it sounded really horrible. And the media and the social media has defined us that this is what the fun is, and we kind of go with that, and there is a thrill, but all that thrill wears off quickly. And the world says you have to buy this, and then if you buy and use these products, you're going to have this thrill and the fun and things like that. And the world says nothing wrong in visiting, you know, nice and exotic places and going and experiencing world. But the world kind of sells us, if you go and live in this amazing place that you like, all your problems are going to be resolved. You find yourself in this particular place and you go and visit, all your problems are going to be resolved. And you go there, but the reality is, I have visited so many places, you have gone so many places, and it's a beautiful place. It is just, you know, heaven on earth kind of a place. And you will go around and see, and there are people you will find in that place who are hurting, who are filled with pain and things like that. You know, everything else is just artificial sweetener kind of a things in this world, except what God offers to us. You know, it is kind of a law of diminishing returns. You do this, and you go to the exotic place, or you buy this product and you use that, and then it wears off, and then you want to buy another, you want to do something, you want to top it off, and it wears off very soon, and it is a law of diminishing return. That is where we find ourselves. And that is the idea of fun in our life. And we think that, oh, there is a next thing that I need to do. If I just kind of do that, I will just be fulfilled in my life and my fun will be completed. And we just kind of run after that quest. And we just keep running and keep running and keep running. And then God comes along and he loves us deeply and he offers himself to us, and we know, and we are kind of in the middle of this thinking thing that, do I commit my life? If I commit my life, man, I have to give up all these things, and then I'm going to miss out on that fun that is there. Now, the truth is this, the way we fight fear is with facts. And we need to really understand what are the facts that are there. And so let me talk to you about some facts. And the fact, you know, the first fact is this. And the Bible talks about that. And it is written in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. And it says, here is what the Bible says. God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God richly provides us everything for enjoyment. When God created us as a human being, he has not created us to be in a boring place. He wants you to enjoy your life, have fun in your life, and do the things that really fulfill your life and bring the joy in your life. That is the desire of God for all of us. So when we have a relationship with him, he provides us everything that is needed for us to enjoy our life. It is not boring. He offers us that. The Word of God says that. So when we commit our life to him, he provides us what is needed in our life. The other fact which is written in the Word of God is this, John chapter 10, verses 10. It says, Jesus says right here, I have come that they may have life and have a life in full. So God's desire for us is that God came into this world and he wants to kind of have a relationship with us. And when we invite him into our space, into our life, he wants to give us a life that is full life. He doesn't want to give us half-hearted life. He wants to give us a life of joy, enjoyment, and the full life. I like the way the Living Bible puts this. Jesus says, my purpose is to give you life in all its fullness. And that is the fact. God provides us. And the reality is this, that we will enjoy that life. We will experience that fullness of life in our life. We will be content in everything that we have if we accept God fully and surrender our life fully to him. Many times we'll live our life in relationship with God haphazardly. We are not committing our life completely into his hand and surrender and obey him. And it is sometimes a disaster that we wonder why we are not experiencing the fullness of God, because we are not able to surrender our life completely to him. And so those are the facts that Jesus says that, come to me and I will give you everything that is needed. Because you know, as a follower of Christ, you do not want to live a miserable life. That is not my idea for you. I have been to the places where people have nothing to eat. They live in a very, you know, bad living spaces. And when you talk to them, the joy of the Lord is full on their faces and in their life. They have very little money in their pockets, and as compared to what we are in this country, that God has blessed us with a lot of monetary things and material things, and you go and look at some of these people, they have nothing. Their lives are broken. Their houses are broken. They do not have enough space to even cook their food. And they praise God, give thanks to God with full of joy, and display the life with fullness. And I'm not saying that we have to be in that place to be in there. The key is we have to let God love you, accept him fully in our life, and he will offer you a journey of joy and life which is full. The second fear is this, that I will become fanatic. You know, the first thing is I will lose my fun. The second fear, we do not want to come close to God or let God come close to us. And we prefer to stay in the hurtful, painful situation is because many times we think that, oh man, I do not want to be a fanatic. Here are some of the names, and these are all imaginary names, okay? But I have met them personally. And these are some, Freddie the Pharisee. You probably met Freddie somewhere in your life. And Freddie is, you know, he's a Pharisee, and I don't know if you met him. I'm sure you met him. He's rigid, narrow-minded, legalistic. Freddie has got rules for everything. You know, the favorite word in his vocabulary is no or don't do this. You know, if it doesn't fit into the rule, you're not supposed to do that. And do I have to become? And the question is, when we are, you know, examining our life to be committed to God, we are saying, man, do I have to be like Freddie? Like a Pharisee? He's so legalistic. He's always, there is no happiness on his face. He's always sad. He's grumpy. He's always pointing out, you know, you did this wrong. You did this thing wrong. And things like that. And do I have to be like that? Absolutely not. The Bible is full of, you know, Jesus and Pharisees and the exchange that went on. And Jesus speaks against the legalistic nature of people. That is not what God brings in our life. That is not what it is. Then there is a Sharon, the self-righteous. And it just, you know, it just fits with the, it's rhymes, that's why Sharon. But there are men also who are self-righteous. And you know, she, you probably met her somewhere along your journey. And she is the holier than thou attitude, judgmental about everybody. She keeps judging everybody. And her favorite phrase is, thank God I'm not like that. Everybody is messed up. Everybody is doing everything wrong. And she's not afraid to kind of tell people, you're doing this wrong and you're doing this wrong, and break them down. And you know, she just professes that I'm such an amazing person and I'm not like other person. And then the question comes very naturally that do I have to be like the Sharon, the self-righteous? Do I have to behave like that when I give my life to God? No, absolutely not. You do not have to be like that, because that's not the idea of Jesus, that he offers the life. And then there is a Billy the Bible thumper. And don't misunderstand me, that we always have to give the word of God. Maybe we are more shyer side, that we don't share enough the love of God with others. But there are some fanatics who are just thumb the Bible for everything. And they say, you know, you're bad, and they present the gospel in a more offensive way, and they fail to build the bridges with people and become friends with them and understand where they are and then present the gospel to them. They're not worried about the people. They're only worried about themselves and what they can just pour down the throats of people. And then you wonder and say, man, if I become follower of God, do I have to be like that? And there are well-meaning Christians many times, people of God, who display the bad behavior in a sense. And that is not the idea of who God is and what God offers. The fact is this, you know, in Isaiah 55:11, it says, God says that when the word is sent forth into our lives, it would never return void. And see the result in Isaiah 55:12, it says, you will go out in joy. You will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into the song before you. So when you present the word of God, it should bring joy into people's life. It should liberate them. And there is a place to kind of do that and connect with people like that. And that is the fact that the word of God presents. You know, so these two fears, and the last one, I'll finish it really quickly. The first fear is I'll give up my fun. And I'm afraid that I'll become fanatic. And then the last one is I will lose my freedom. I'm free. And I do everything that I want to do. And you know, the world today defines freedom as life without any restraints. So I want to do everything and anything which comes to my mind. I just want to do that. And no restraints, no rules, no framework. I can say anything and I want to say without restraints. The problem with that life is no restraint is that it leads to a total selflessness and total independence in our life. And you may say, what is wrong with independence? Independence and the selflessness is you are always focused inward on your life. The problem with independentness is you're depending upon your wisdom and what you have to bring in your life. Just understand this. When you are in pain, when you are hurting, when there is a lot of hurt that is being in your life, do you want to depend upon that hurt and that pain itself to find the way? You need somebody else, and that somebody else is Jesus Christ, who can bring a comfort and a peace in your life. Friends, you know, let me give you a couple of examples. They are listed in your outline, and this is what it is. Total independence, the freedom, as the world kind of expresses, and we have, historically, we have seen this in our nation. You know, there was something called sexual freedom in America. And what did that freedom give us? It gave us AIDS, social distress, abortion, killing, and so much destruction, so much pain, so much hurt. That is what it has given. Something called chemical freedom, what that has given us, grade school addicts. Now the most chemically dependent society in our you know, on this earth is grade school kids who are dependent upon chemicals and whatnot, you know, kind of a thing. That is a chemical freedom. The credit card freedom. What the credit card freedom has given us. You know, it has given us in 90s, it was, you know, it kind of says 146 easy payments. There is no easy payment. Every payment is a very hard payment, but it is sold to us. It is 56 easy payments. It's a credit card freedom and revolution. What that has given us in 90s, it was $14 trillion national debt, and today it is more than $36 trillion national debt. That is what it has led us, that freedom. And then there is a freedom of self-identity. You become who you want to be. You call yourself whoever you want to be. And that is the freedom I want to live as a self-identity. And what that has given us? Total confusion, total chaos, and total depravity and regret in the lives of people. And that's why this freedom, what the world calls us freedom, always has led us to the destruction. The independence that we want to depend upon ourselves, and we feel great about that to begin with, but will always, always lead us to destruction in our life. The reason for that is we do not have what it takes as a human being to really find true freedom because we are hurting people. Because there is a lot of pain in our life, we cannot resolve pain and hurt with the hurt itself. With the pain itself, it cannot happen. We need something different in our life. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we make the choices, we choose the freedom, and when we choose that freedom, there are consequences for that. We choose the credit card freedom, and we have to pay the consequences of that. Sexual freedom, we have to pay consequences to that. And so every choice we make in our life, we have to pay consequences to that. And that is the kind of freedom that has been encouraged in our lives. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, what we sow, we will one day reap. Whatever we will sow, that is what we will reap. If we choose the whatever kind of freedom the world offers and we embrace that and we practice that, you know, we may feel good for a little bit, but we are sowing the seeds of that worldly freedom in our life. We will have to pay the consequences of that. There is no other way that we can get rid of those consequences in our life. You know, the fact is this, there's a great promise from God. In John chapter 8 in verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If God sets you free, you know, you will be free indeed. The true freedom, it comes from God himself. You know, what is the real freedom? Just in a layman's term, real freedom is a freedom from guilt. We carry our life with a lot of guilt, a lot of shame in our life. And when we accept God in our life and come to the place of forgiveness with him, and we receive that forgiveness, that guilt is gone. That guilt is gone, and that freedom from the guilt, you cannot buy anywhere. No freedom of this world will free you from the guilt. I guarantee you, no freedom. It will push you towards the guilt, and it will push you towards the consequences heavily we have to pay. The freedom from the worry, the freedom from the bitterness, the freedom from myself, the self-dependence. And God offers those freedom. And the great news about this is this, that it is all free. It is all free, and God offers us that. But we are gripped with the fear that I will lose my freedom. I will lose my freedom. You know, friends, God cares about you so much. He loves you so much that there is a reason we say God is love. And James talks about this whole idea that if you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. If you surrender your life to him, he is not going to leave you alone. There will never be a time when you come before the true living God, Jesus Christ, and say to him, God, I want to surrender my life. I'm tired of my life living this way. I'm constantly in pain. I'm hurting. I'm worried. I am thinking about the things that you know, sometimes are playing in my mind. They may not be true, and I'm gripped with that. God is calling all of us today, and he's saying, I want to free you. I want to free you. I want to give you the love. Let me love you to the depths of your soul, that I want to give you the peace that comes from me. Are you willing to surrender your life to him? You know, we are going to have a baptism in a moment, but I don't want to kind of waste this moment. There are people who needed to hear this today. We will be picking up different topic about the hurts, life's hurts next Sunday. Don't miss that. If God is speaking to you, just be here, and give God the chance in your life, and ask Him to kind of heal your inner being, which is hurting, which is full of pain, because that is the reason God came into this world. God never came into this world to make churches bigger or to increase the religion. God is not about the religion at all. He is least interested, zero interested about the religion. God is interested about the personal relationship with Him. And when we have a personal relationship, He encourages to kind of come together as a people of God and worship Him. That is what it is. So it is an authentic relationship God offers us. So we are going to close our eyes today and think about this. Maybe you were not expecting this message today in your life, and you find yourself in that place where you're full of hurt, pain, agony within your soul. And let's close our eyes today, and I want to kind of ask if there is anybody here who wants to say, man, I've been afraid in my life. I have kind of thought about God, but I'm so afraid in my life that I will lose my freedom. I will lose my fun times. I will probably have to become fanatic. And all these fears have kept me away from God. But God wants to change your life and wants to, you know, transform your life because He loves you so much. He wants to bring the love of God and pour that love into your life so that He can deal with your pain and your hurt today. If there is anybody like that, if you will raise your hand, don't be afraid. Nobody is seeing you. You are not judged. Nobody is going to say that, you know, this is a bad person or messed up person, because Jesus loves all of us. We all are messed up people. We all have gone through hurts and fears. Anybody here? I want to also give an opportunity today to, if anybody wants to come and speak to me, Pastor Matthew, Pastor Vandana, or any one of us, please come speak, because we want to help you take you closer to God Himself. Let's bow our heads today. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for your word. We praise you, we give you thanks, oh Father. Oh God, thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. Because God is love. That doesn't mean God will let us do the destructive things in our life. The greatest expression of love is letting us know in our life that you're on a destructive path. You're going to hurt yourself really badly if you continue to go on this path. And that's what God does. And that is the great expression of love in our life. Thank you, God, for loving us so much. You want to find us in the best place, not on this earth, but also in heaven, oh God. That is the best place for us. That is your desire for us, oh Father God. That doesn't mean we all the time live in a misery in this world. You want to give us the real freedom. Help us to accept and embrace that freedom today in our life. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing this closing song.
And every eye is on Him. All the praise towards Him. You're the main attraction, the reason that we
I know we are gone a little over, but just be a little patient. We are going to receive members into the church today, and those who are ready to be received, will you please come forward? Come on up, Alex. Yeah, one pro family, everybody. Thomas, Jeremiah, come on up. Come. Come on up here. Yeah. Please come here. Yeah. So I'm going to read some of these things so that I know Chaplain Sean Crowe is a chaplain who is an ordained minister in our church. So maybe you should be doing this instead of I, but he's a servant of God, and his beautiful family just been in the church forever, you know. So, but and the Alex is really brand new to us and got baptized a few months ago, and it is such a joy to have him to be received in this. So we have a good span of the journey here, but just so that it is a reminder for us as well, let me read some of these things. You know, to be a member, it is a privilege and a blessing that we have in association together in the Church of Jesus Christ, our very sacred and precious. There is in it such a hallowed fellowship as cannot otherwise be known. I mean, there can be a lot of gatherings, but when we come together as a people of God in the church, it is a different gathering, because we come in the name of Jesus, and the presence of God is here. Not only that, but there is such a helpfulness with brotherly watch, care, and counsel as can be found only in the church. There is the godly care of a pastor with the teaching of the word and the helpful inspiration of a social worship. And there is a cooperation in the service, accomplishing that which cannot otherwise be done. So what, in other words, it says that there is a fellowship of God in the church. There is a pastor as a leader who is there to counsel, help, and there are other people who encourage you in our spiritual walk. And then there is a time of worship, praising God together, and it can only happen in the church. And so, you know, there is the doctrine that we believe in, and let me, instead of reading this, some of it, I will read that we believe in God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We especially emphasize the deity of Jesus Christ and the personality of the Holy Spirit. What that means is Jesus Christ is God himself. He is not just an amazing person or the prophet or a person who has done a great things in the history and he's no more, but he is God himself, and we put our trust and faith in him. And there is a personality of Holy Spirit that God has given us, the Holy Spirit in our life to lead us and guide us and depend us and counsel us in our daily life. And we believe that human beings are born in sin and that we need a forgiveness from our sin. And when we seek that forgiveness, and what we preach today and what we heard today, God offers that forgiveness and freedom in our life. And as we take that journey, we have a deeper relationship with him in obedience to God, what we call an entire sanctification. And that work is needed in our life. The work of the Holy Spirit happens in our life, that we become the obedient to God. And we believe that the Lord will return, and dead shall be raised, and that all shall come to a final judgment with its rewards and its punishment. Do you believe these truths? If you do, please say yes. I do. Everybody? Yeah, that's amazing. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and do you realize that He saves you now? You too, yeah. And so, desiring to unite with the Church of the Nazarene, there are, I won't read the whole big passage here, but there is a covenant of Christian conduct and in the Church of the Nazarene, and do you, would you agree to live by the covenant of Christian, covenant of Christian conduct, and be faithful in your giving and your attending the fellowship of God and supporting the church in the activities as you're able to do that, will you? Great. So this is great. Just wanted to kind of welcome you in the fellowship of God and in this great church of the Wasilla Lake Church of the Nazarene. Alex, welcome. Brother Sean, welcome. Melissa, welcome. Laura, welcome. And Thomas, welcome. And Jeremiah, welcome. And Matthew, you're welcome, but we are going to do a baptism for you and not a membership, but that's okay. But that's okay. Don't worry. That's you're totally fine. So let's clap and give thanks to God and receive them in our church. And if you have time, just hang around. We have some great cake that we all can enjoy as a welcoming to our new members and the baptism also. So thank you. And we are going to pray, one second, for all of you. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for this great moment that you have given us an opportunity to have our friends come and join our church today. And Father God, just we ask for your blessings upon them. Give us also encouragement and prompt our spirit to build a relationship with this amazing friends of ours, our family. You know, help us, oh God, as a church members to look after them, to lift their spirit up, their needs, oh God, that they may have, that we will stand in the gap for them, oh God. And oh Father, that we will keep enjoying their fellowship in you. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Yeah. Go ahead. Do you want to say something? No? Anybody? No? That's okay. We are going to move our time here a little bit. That's okay. I think we're fine. This is good. Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry about that. You know, I just want to kind of say that baptism is not just on a select times, but any time you can do the baptism. Matthew, would you like to come and be here? Matthew, another Matthew, if you will come also. And you cannot wait. That's amazing. Are your clothes okay? Your shoes, you're fine,
Shane,
right?
Go ahead, come
you
up.
Have a change Shane. Of clothes, right? Yeah. This is amazing. Matthew has been. Come on up, guys. Whoever, Shane, come on up. And anybody who wants to come and pray with Matthew after we are done baptizing, you're welcome to come. Matthew, would you like to lead the baptism? Sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you're ready, Matt, go ahead and step into the pool of water here. So I was able to meet Matt, go ahead, a couple years ago, and I probably wouldn't have met Matt.
Is that okay?
Yeah. It's not burning you, is it?
Yeah.
All right, so the person who introduced me to Matt was actually Aiden here. He invited him to church and started pestering Matt about God and stuff like that, and so it was really cool to kind of see. Nagging, yeah. I remember the words Matt shared with me once. He said, it's hard to be an atheist when Aiden's around him all the time. So it was pretty cool to see the life of Matt here today and what God's doing in his life. So, Matt, why don't you come forward here a little bit?
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Yeah,
so, Matt, you know, the baptism is about putting our faith in God and asking him about our sins forgiveness. So, Matt, really quickly, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Will you be baptized into this faith of that God has forgiven your sins and he's a living God and he rose from the death, he died for us and rose for the death, and you have asked him forgiveness and he forgive you now? Do you believe in that? And do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ as your personal savior, and do you realize that, of course, he saves you now? Yeah, that's great. Come. Yeah. And go a little bit in front, okay? Just go a little bit in forward. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. That's good. Let's pray. Let's pray. Matthew, just pray.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Just thank you for the life of Matt here. Thank you for being with him throughout his life and for him responding to the call in your life to receive Christ. And I pray that you would continue to be with him. I pray that you would use us to minister to his life and to invest in his life. Just thank you for the commitment. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Shane, come on up. You want to keep your shoes or you want to remove it? Yeah? You can remove your socks too. That's okay.
I got an extra pair of socks.
Okay. That's fine. Come on up. Yeah. So I'll just read a couple of things so you won't get into. You know, the baptism is a sign and a seal of a new covenant of grace, the significance of which is attested by the Apostle Paul in the letter of Romans. And what he says is that when we are, and I'm not going to read that, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5, what it says is, when we baptize, we are dead to ourselves. In a sense, our old self has died, and God has given you the new you. You know, you're resurrected in what God has offered you. And we heard the sermon today, what God offers us, the freedom from him, you know, the true freedom. And so when you ask him to, and you know, Jesus died for you, personally for you. If you were the only person on this face of this earth, he would still die for you. And he has taken all the guilt that you have and taken it at the cross and redeemed that, and he rose again, so he's a living God. And he offers you that freedom. Do you believe in these truths?
Yes.
And have you asked for the forgiveness of your sins to Jesus?
Yes.
And do you believe that he saves you now from all your sins?
Yes,
that's great, amazing. So let's do this. Eli, come. Matthew, come. Come on up, guys, and we'll do this. It's a privilege, Shane, to baptize you in the, so go ahead and sit there because this is a good length here, okay? Yeah, this is great. Come. So Shane, I want to baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, are you okay? Come on. Eli, do you want to pray for Shane?
All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day that Shane decided to come and declare before the people of God that he has chosen you, Father. We just thank you that you have done your work in his heart, that you are continuing to change him and shape him. into the man of God, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we just thank you for this day. We pray that you will continue and go before him in his life. We pray that he will continue to choose to seek you day in and day out, Lord. We say this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Let's clap and rejoice in the Lord today. It's amazing. So we're just going to hang around for a few minutes, just have a fellowship. We have amazing cakes here. And what we're going to do is this. Oh, I should not slip and fall.